Good morning. Good to see the good number we have with us today. We're thankful for the nice weather that we've been having the last few days, and that's certainly a relief and gives us hope that other things we might have concern about are going to get better very well soon. In the meantime, I want to talk about patience this morning, because we have need of patience. I've entitled the lesson, actually, Patience, a Giant Step to Perfection. And I hope that our opening passage will give you the reason why I titled it that. James 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Certainly, the Lord's desire for us is that we be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In our pursuit of that completeness that God desires for us and that we should desire of ourselves, we sometimes get frustrated, and sometimes our frustrations lead us to just give up altogether. If we can learn to handle our frustration and to endure our maturing to perfection, then we will have taken a giant step towards that goal of being complete in Christ. So, what's the definition of patience? Well, patience can be translated or defined as endurance. Patience doesn't quit. Patience just keeps on going. Now, I think sometimes we confuse patience and temperance or self-control. Temperance means self-control or moderation. We are to practice moderation in all things. But I think sometimes we confuse self-control with patience. And so it's important that we understand the distinction between these two characteristics. And maybe to help us understand that distinction, we can use the parable of a project. Have you ever said, I need to do this or do that, and you've never done it before, but I'm going to tackle that and get into it and start working on it, and invariably, it doesn't go real smooth. Have you ever noticed that every time you take up something new, there's a learning curve to it? And you're going to do it better the second, third, or fourth, or tenth time than you did the first time. And so, let's say you have a project, and you become frustrated with it, and you just quit, you just give up, put it away, not going to do that. That's the loss of patience. You quit. On the other hand, and you get into it and you start playing around with it and you get so frustrated with it, you just tear it all up. That's a loss of self-control. That's a loss of temperance. You can use another illustration that sadly we see too often these days, and that's in marriage. Every marriage, because more than one person is involved, is going to have some conflicts in it. You might have lovers' quarrels, or just quarrels, about different things, and that's a loss of temperance. It's a loss of self-control. You understand each other's differences, and yet at the same time, you become frustrated with those differences, and sometimes that frustration is expressed, and you later wish that you didn't express your frustration in the way that you did, but you did, and that's a loss of self-control. Sadly, so often we find that people divorce. That's a loss of patience. That's quitting. That's failure to endure with one another and a failure to continue to love one another in spite of your differences. And so there's many illustrations that we can use of the difference between patience and self-control. But it's important that we understand that temperance is important in attaining patience. I don't think you ever get to patience without first practicing self-control. And the scriptures teach us that. Temperance is the key to patience. If you want to have patience, you want to get into patience, you have to use the key of self-control. How do you attain temperance? Well, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 6 gives us some insight into that. Familiar passage. He says, "His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue." God wants us to be complete in Him. He's called us to glory and virtue, excellence. And He's done that through the power, His divine power. All Scripture is breathed of God. How did He do that? How did the Holy Spirit put the thoughts of God into the minds of men and they were able to relate it to it? How does that happen? We don't have to know how it happens. We just know that God is able to do whatever He wants to do. And it was His good pleasure to teach us these things. It was His good pleasure to reveal these things to us. He says, so through His divine power, He's, and through giving His knowledge to us, by which we have been given exceeding great and precious promises in the Word of God, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. That's what we've been talking about this morning, isn't it? God wants us to be complete. God wants us to be partakers of His nature, the divine nature. We're born into a carnal nature, but we can be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. And you're beginning to see the key to self-control here. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. You escape the things that are in the world. But also, for this very reason, that God wants us to be partakers of the divine nature, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, excellence, and to your virtue, knowledge. How are you going to be excellent? Who's to say what is excellent? God. So I have to know what is the standard of excellence, the standard of godliness, the standard of the divine nature. I have to know that. And God's revealed that to us. So, adding to our faith, the pursuit of excellence, I need to add knowledge. And to knowledge, look at it, self-control. Once I know what God wants me to do, I need to practice self-control and do what God wants me to do rather than do what the carnal nature is inclined to do. Practice self-control, and to self-control, perseverance. What's perseverance? Well, perseverance is endurance. Perseverance is patience. Perseverance is continuing to do what you know the right thing to do is, and continuing not doing what you know the wrong thing is. And perseverance, godliness. That's what He's called us to. He's called us to the divine nature. He's called us to be like Him. And in order to do that, we need to know him. We need to be determined and committed to doing his will, to saying no to self and saying yes to the Lord and what he would have us to do, and continue to do that. So, add to your desire for excellence. Add to your faith. Where does faith come from? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Add to your faith virtue, that striving for excellence, and to your striving for excellence knowledge of the things that pertain to life and godliness that we saw in verse 3. The knowledge of God's way. Now, look at the value, then, of temperance. Temperance is demonstrated in the tongue. James presents a kind of a very long explanation of things here, but it's a good illustration, a good application of self-control. James chapter 3, verses 2 through 10. We stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Now, he's not saying that you can't do that. He's saying, if you can learn to control your tongue, you can control anything. You can learn to control any vice that you might be inclined to. Any desire for worldliness that you may be inclined to, you can control that. You can practice self-control and stay away from it. Now, here's the illustration. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths and that they may obey us. And we turn their whole body, just a little bit. It's able to control that big horse. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. The ship is much bigger than the rudder. The wind is much stronger than the sail or the motor or a lot of other things, but even in a fierce wind, you can, by manipulating the rudder on that boat, many times you can keep it pointed in a direction that's going to keep the boat safe and the people in it safe. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. You see how great a forest a little fire kindles. You see how big a forest fire, and how big a forest might be, and it catches on fire. Well, how did that fire start? A lot of times it started with just a little fire. And that little fire spread, consumes counties, thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres sometimes. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue also is set, the tongue is so set among them, our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. The things that we say before thinking, how it's going to affect the people who hear, and how it's going to affect us and down the road, and all of those kinds of things. The things we say without thinking. Oh, that's just the way I am. Well, you need to change the way you are. You need to change the way you are. You need to think about what you're going to say before you say it. That's the whole point of all of these illustrations. It's just a little member. It might be a little word, or just might be one sentence. And it can set an entire relationship ablaze. Did you hear what he said? Did you hear what she said? Well, did he say it? Did she say it? You know, sometimes people said things that they never said. And you can get a whole bunch of people upset about it. Where'd that all come from? Satan. Satan just loves it when we get upset and get divided. I appreciated Jonathan's prayer this morning. But we're in a country right now that's divided over so many things. Is there an answer to it? There's an answer to it. God's the answer. Christ is the answer. You know, but one of the things we're divided about, people don't believe in God. People don't believe in Christ. People don't believe in Christianity, if you want to use that term. People are divided over that. But God is the answer, and Christ is the answer, and He can bring us together. It is set on fire by hell. Realize where division comes from. Every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. No man. Underline that word man. No man can tame the tongue. No other man. I can't tame your tongue. You can't tame my tongue. I can go out here and I can find a wild animal and I can tame it down. I can work on its nature, but I can't work on your nature. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God and the Father, and with it we curse men who've been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so be. You need to bridle your tongue. You need to check it. You need to practice self-control with your tongue. And so the value of temperance can be demonstrated in our tongue, but it is certainly applied to every form of sin. Romans 6 and verse 12 says, "Do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust." Don't let sin be pervasive in your life. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 through 34 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." Who do you keep company with? Why do we desire to come together, encourage one another to love and good works? Well, one of the reasons we desire that is because God teaches us to do that. The other reason we do it is because we appreciate one another and the encouragement that we receive from one another. Experience has taught us that when we are with our brethren who are of like faith, that we are encouraged and our faith grows stronger. When we are separated from one another, we are vulnerable. Now notice verse 34. "Awake to righteousness and do not sin." There's a lot in that, those first three words. Awake to righteousness. Number one, it tells me that righteousness is not going to be found by searching your own conscience to find out, well, what is right. Righteousness is not going to be found by asking each other what is right. Righteousness is found in the Word of God. And we noticed that last week. God is righteous and His way is righteous. And He's revealed righteousness to us in the good news of salvation in Christ Jesus. And the wonderful life of living a life of righteousness. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. You know, you can't awake to righteousness and continue to sin. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. You got to practice self-control. For some do not have the knowledge of God. Nobody has the knowledge of God in and of themselves. You have to wake to the righteousness that is revealed to us by God. I speak this to your shame, because there were those who claimed to be righteous but continued to sin. And Paul is correcting that here in 1 Corinthians 15. Philippians 4 and verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, any excellence," that standard of excellence, "if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Meditate on these things. You know, you can get caught up in watching the news, and there's not a whole lot of good there. And you get distracted from things that are praiseworthy. You get distracted from the things that are just and the things that are true and the things that are pure. You need to get back to thinking on the good things. As Jonathan mentioned this morning in his prayer, he was thankful for the blessings that God has blessed us with. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. Think on the good things, the pure things. So temperance, self-control, is the key to patience. You learn to know what's right and then do what's right and not transgress the will of God. You're practicing self-control. Now, keep doing that. That's patience. Because once we make that decision to do God's will, and we start doing God's will, and we start participating in the divine nature and rejecting the carnal nature, once we start doing that, it's not that the carnal nature stops appealing to us. It does. It continues to be a fight and a struggle. That's where patience comes in. Patience is endurance. You know, we're in the, I don't know, what, about 160-some days of a 15-day flatten the curve period. And things have gone from this to that, and all, you know, and everybody's just tired of it. Everybody's tired of it. Now, I understand that. I'm one who's tired of it, frustrated with it, all of those kinds of things. But, you know, one thing that we're learning in this is we're learning patience. Learning patience. Learning to love one another. Learning to bear with those who are weak and might not have the same conviction. Learning how to worship God in spirit and in truth, in consideration of one another. And I'm as aware as anybody how frustrating this pandemic is. And I'm about ready to lose my patience, I guess you might say. This is lessons for me as much as anybody. Just hang in there. It's going to be over. Patience. How important is it? Especially when it comes to matters of faith. Well, it is extremely important. We will not make it to heaven without it. Hebrews 10 and verse 36 says, "You have need of endurance," patience. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Once you have started doing the will of God, keep doing the will of God. That's what he's saying. So that you may receive the promise. Because if you start doing the will of God and then stop doing the will of God, you won't receive the promise. Same thing stated here in James 5, verses 7 through 8. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the... How long do we have to be patient? How long do we have to endure? How long do we have to keep on doing righteousness and abstaining from unrighteousness? Until the coming of the Lord. You see how a farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth? Waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain? You also, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Well, if it's at hand, he should have already been here, shouldn't he? That doesn't mean time frame in this context. That's what you need to understand about the phrase at hand. Sometimes it does mean time frame, very close in time. But many times, as in this context, it means it is certain. You know, we're dealing with Almighty God, with whom time doesn't mean anything. He's from everlasting to everlasting. 5 years is the same as 5 minutes with someone who's not on a clock. You have need of patience, endurance. Keep doing the right thing to the coming of the Lord. In so doing, you establish your hearts. You prove to yourself and to God that your obedience to God isn't a flash in the pan. It's a commitment of spirit. You're committed to godliness and righteousness. Christians may, and no doubt will, commit sin. That's a loss of temperance. That's a loss of self-control. And God knows that. He's allowed for that in that there's a way of forgiveness. That if we confess our sins, we turn from them, confess them before him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. 1 John chapter 1. It's one of the blessings that we have in Christ. So yes, Christians will lose control from time to time and commit an act of sin. But when we turn away from Christ, when we just say, I quit, that's a loss of patience. That's the loss of endurance. We need to endure. Endure to the end. How do we attain patience? Well, we've been talking about that, right? You have to practice, you have to know the will of God, be committed to the will of God, practice self-control. Here's some other things. Romans 5 and verse 3 tells us that tribulations work patience. Put your faith to the test. Put your strength to the test. How strong are you? You know, archery deer season came in yesterday, and I participate in that. And, you know, hunted all bow season last year. And through the summer, it gets hot and humidity and stuff, and just, I don't want to go out there and pull that bow and everything. So you don't, you know, not today, not this week, not this month. And so I go out there, you know, July, and I can hardly pull that thing. And I can pull it, but it wasn't enjoyable. And I said, I'm going to crank this thing back. So I cranked it back. I took about, I don't know, maybe 3 pounds out of it. And then I started working on repetitions, getting up 30 repetitions. I said, okay, I'm going to crank it back down to where it was. I said, and my bow was never maxed out. I said, you know what? When I first got the bow, it was maxed out. I could pull it one time. I took it to the archery shop, and the guy said, well, you only have to pull it one time. I said, not to practice. So I said, you know what, I want to crank it all the way down and see what it does. I could pull it about 10 times. Well, something's happened here. So I kept on working that. So that's where I left it, and it shoots really good there. But what am I saying? I'm saying is your strength needs to be tested. And if your strength is not where you know it needs to be, you need to start practicing self-control. You need to increase the repetitions. And when the tribulations come, when the test comes, you'll be able to endure. It increases your strength. It increases your endurance. Very similar to that, James chapter 1 verse 3 says, the trying of your faith works patience. You know how that is in the physical body. It's the same way in your spirit. In Matthew 21 and verse 22, Jesus said, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So how do you attain patience? Well, you do what you know God in His Word has told you to do. You do that. And you do it over and over and over and over again. And when trials come into your life, you apply the strength that you have in your knowledge of God's Word and your faith. You, as we talked about last week, faith overcomes the world. And while you're in that process, spiritually, you pray. You pray for patience. You pray for endurance. You pray that you'll continue to practice self-control and not get tired of practicing self-control. Patience. You'll pray that you'll cherish godliness and righteousness. And you'll prioritize it in your life. So you see, faith plus patience then equals salvation. And we've already noticed that point. But here's some other verses that make that point. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, he's talking about so many men and women who heard what God said, trusted what God said, did what God said in perilous situations. Those are the witnesses. Those are the examples that he's talking about. Let us also lay aside every weight. And the sin that does so easily ensnare us, the sin of unbelief, the sin of doubt, the sin of I quit, the sin of giving up. Let us lay that aside and run with endurance the race that is set before us. This is not a sprint. This is for the rest of your life. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Let us not grow weary in while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. You know, the first time that I read that, and maybe several times after that, I said, why would you get tired of doing good? But we realize that what he's saying here is that there's a battle going on in our mind. Carnal side wants to do one thing. The spiritual side wants to do the will of God. That's a conflict. Sometimes we get tired and just continue to get strong. And don't give up. Do not grow weary. Do not lose heart. Luke 21 and verse 9, Jesus said it this way, by your patience you possess your soul. Have you ever considered that? What must I do to be saved? What's our answer to that? Well, you have to hear the Word of God. You have to believe it. You have to turn from your sin. turn to the will of God, confess Him as the Son of God, be baptized for the remission of your sins, abide in His Word. Yep. How long do you have to abide in His Word? For the rest of your life. That's what Jesus was talking about here. Yeah, what do you have to do to be saved? That's all involved in it. You have to be faithful. How long? From now on. In your patience, you possess your soul. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't give up. Our attitude, as we endure trials and increase in patience, is expressed here in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 and 11, says, walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. That's what He called us to. To holiness, to the divine nature. Walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. For all patience and long suffering with joy. So smile. Smile when you're enduring. I saw a video once where a guy, he was an archery guy, but he also lifted weights and stuff and pretty good physique and stuff. And I said, well, how do you get that? He says, I pick things up, I put things down. I pick things up, I put things down. And, you know, he had a big smile on his face, you know. I don't know. When I'm doing that, even if it's shooting my bow sometimes, it's like, this is hard. But it's also good when you see the results. And that certainly applies spiritually. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Aren't you glad you walk in righteousness? Aren't you glad you don't get caught up in all the things that are troubling people who don't know Christ and His will? For all patience and long suffering with joy. Romans 5 and verse 3. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance. We've noticed that. I'm going to get stronger. I'm going to get through this. James 1 and verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So that's the attitude we need to embrace as we endure these trials and as we increase in patience. An attitude of joy, knowing we're getting stronger, knowing that we're glorifying God, knowing that we're participating in the divine nature, knowing that a crown of eternal life awaits us as we serve God here. Patience. Giant step to perfection. Keep it up. Keep going. Keep doing His will. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, you decided it's gone on long enough. It's time to commit my life to the way of the Lord, to turn from sin, to be all that He created me to be. Give God my sin in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. Obey Him this morning. Turn from your sin. Turn to Him in righteousness. Confess Him as the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Continue to abide in His Word. Continue. You'll be happy you did. And we'll encourage you in that. If you're here today and you're a child of God and perhaps you became impatient, became frustrated, you sinned, you need your brothers and sisters to pray with you and for you, God knows that those times would come. That's why we talked about 1 John chapter 1, James chapter 5. Tells us to confess our faults one to another, pray for one another. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation this morning in any way, would you please come as we stand and sing this song?